Welcome to the interview edition of The Basics of Life with Rob Salvato, the lead pastor of Calvary Vista in Vista, California. These are the basics of
life. And so, sadly, to me, a lot of people, it's just all about masks and politics, all these things, rather than looking at this and saying, look, this is an opportunity and a wake-up call from God for myself to wake up to what's really important in life. And to have conversations with people that go beneath those kinds of things and talk about, you know, where is this world headed? And not only where's this world headed, you know, not only how the world going to end, but how am I going to end?
Today on the Basics of Life Conversations, my guest is my friend, Mark Hitchcock. Mark is the senior pastor of Faith Bible Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, and he's also a prolific writer. He has authored over 30 books, including two that were released this year. Today in our conversation, I'm going to be talking about, with Mark, what is going on in our crazy world and how it relates to Bible prophecy. And so now, here is my conversation with Mark Hitchcock. Living in Him, free by His grace, we're complete, growing in faith and love. These are the basics of life, boldly proclaim the truth of His name, that all may see, learn to walk in Him, walk by the basics of life. Well, welcome to the program, Mark.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you again.
Yeah, really been looking forward to this conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time. And I just want to start off by asking you, Mark, what is going on in this crazy world that we are living in? What's your perspective?
Well, that's a good question. It's kind of like the old question, what in the world's going on? What on earth's going on? You know, my wife and I were over in Israel back in early March. We left on February 29th. You know, that's when this whole COVID thing really started mushrooming while we were in Israel. And so, you know, while we were there, we were getting all kind of texts from people, and we were some of the last people out of Israel. And it's real interesting. We were standing in line. Finally, we were leaving Tel Aviv to fly to Newark, New Jersey. There were a couple of guys in front of us in line, and one of them had the biggest bag of vodka I've ever seen. He'd gotten at the duty free store. But anyway, I struck up a conversation with him, and he turned around to him and he said, "What in the world is going on?" He said, "Do you think the world is about to end?"
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, "Well, I don't know if the world's about to end or not, but I said it's going to end someday, and you better have your faith in Christ, you know, or you know, you're going to be left behind when He comes back and whatever." Anyway, he turned around real quickly and started talking to his friend again. You know what I mean? I think it's kind of like he didn't really care about what I had to say, but that really struck me. Here's a totally secular guy, and he says, "You know, what in the world is going on?" He says, "I think the world is about to end." And so, it's a great question to ask: what's going on in our world today? And you know, really, I think if I were to put it kind of to summarize it prophetically, I think what's going on in the world today is God is setting the stage for the end times. Yeah. We're not in the tribulation period yet. The rapture hasn't occurred yet. So we're not seeing the fulfillment of, the prophecies of, the tribulation period or the battle of Gog and Magog or those kinds of things taking place. But what we are seeing, I think, is the stage being set, because, you know, the events of the end times can't occur in a vacuum.
Right.
So there's going to have to be things in place, you know, and Israel's got to be in place. You know, everybody who knows about prophecy knows that. That's kind of the super sign of the end times. And of course, they're there. Over 40% of the Jews in the world are in Israel today. There's got to be globalism. There has to be a global setup for this and the Antichrist to come and rule the world globally, economically. There's got to be a world focus on the Middle East, because the Middle East is the staging grounds for what's going to happen. And we certainly see that today. And we might talk a little bit more later, you know, about these treaties, you know, these peace treaties Israel has signed, you know, with Bahrain and with the United Arab Emirates, which, you know, kind of, to me, is a stage setting, or at least a precursor to the kind of final covenant that the Antichrist will make for 7 years. And, then we just see just unrest and just a despair with lots of people in our world today, people looking for someone or something that can come and give them hope.
Right.
And then with all of that, we've got this, you know, pandemic that I do think is a stage setting kind of event as well, because it's really fostering globalism. Nations kind of having to work together on these things. It's fostering things like track and trace technology, knowing where people are. So, what I would say today is, we're in a time today of the setting of the stage for the events of the end times. And again, how long the stage setting will last, we don't know. Jesus could come back today. He could come back in 10 years. But I think when we see the convergence of things that we see today and the acceleration of the things we see, to me, it's paving the way, if you will, for the events the Bible predicts for the end times.
Yeah, absolutely. So well said. I love that. The stage is being set. And you came out this year with two new books, and you've written over 30 and two this year, which I've written two books myself, and I was like blown away. Like, okay, wait a minute, he has two books that came out a month apart. How does he do that? But one of the books was called The Corona Crisis, and you wrote that, put that out, a few months after the COVID-19, this pandemic started. So, Mark, how does the coronavirus fit into the prophetic picture?
Well, good. That's a great question. Let me answer kind of in the negative first. I think if we say what it's not, then I can kind of move to what it is.
Okay.
I'm certain the coronavirus is not the fulfillment of any prophecy. A lot of people, a lot of prophecy teachers go to Matthew 24.
Right.
And the parallel passage in Luke 21, and they see those birth pains that are mentioned.
Yep.
And they'll look at those birth pains and they'll say, that's where we are today. We're in the time of these birth pains. And in Luke 21:11, Jesus mentions plagues or pandemics or pestilence. And he also mentions famines and earthquakes and those kinds of things. My understanding is the events in Matthew 24 happened during the tribulation period.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say that is birth pains, that language is used by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 of during the time of the day of the Lord, when these destruction is going to come like birth pains. It's also used in Jeremiah 30, in the first few verses there of Jeremiah 30, of that future time of tribulation for Israel. And another thing, too, is if you look at Matthew 24, and you see the signs Jesus gives there of false messiahs and war and famine and these kinds of things, and you go to Revelation 6, those passages are parallel. Because you have false messiahs in Matthew 24, and then Revelation 6, you have the rider on the white horse, the Antichrist.
Mm.
In Matthew 24, you have wars and rumors of wars, then you have the rider on the red horse, which is war. You have famine, then you have the black horse, and you have plagues, which is the fourth rider. So I see those as being during the tribulation. So when people say today, well, we're in the time of these birth pains in Matthew 24, to me, I think they're jumping the gun by saying that. I think that's looking at the time of the future tribulation. One man that I read once said that he thought that what we're seeing today are what are called the Braxton Hicks contractions.
Yeah. Right.
Now, those of us, maybe have kids, we know they're kind of those premature labor pains.
Right, exactly.
So I think what we're seeing today is that, but it's not those birth pains. So it's not that, but I think it is it's a precursor again, or it's a preview or a foreshadow of what's coming. Because when you go to Revelation chapter 6, the four horsemen of the apocalypse here, it's the first four seal judgments. You have the fourth seal is this pale horse.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that the pale horse kills a fourth of the earth through sword, through famine, pestilence or plagues, and the wild beasts of the earth.
Right.
And everybody knows what sword is and famine and what plagues are, but it mentions the wild beasts of the earth. And there's different views on that, but I've become convinced that the wild beasts of the earth being mentioned there with plagues are plagues that come from animals.
Hmm.
And when you look at our world today, there's been 30 new infectious diseases in the last 30 years in the world. And three out of four of those are from animals. They're called zoonotic diseases, or they're called spillovers, where diseases spill over from animals to humans. And we know about a lot of those SARS and MERS and the bird flu and the swine flu. In fact, a few years ago when the swine flu was going around, I remember in a magazine seeing a headline that said "Apocalypse Now." So, somebody was kind of, whoever the writer was kind of seeing a connection, between, the end times and these plagues and whatever. So again, what the COVID-19 is not one of those plagues that will happen during the tribulation with the fourth rider. But I think, again, what we're seeing is a foreshadow or a foreshock of that, because these diseases coming from these animals. And, you know, COVID has, it's affected, I think, 7 million people in the world. 200,000 people in America have died. Now, I know a lot of people dispute some of that, you know, that they die from it or with it and all that. But still, you know, I know some people who've died basically from this. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, it's been very, very difficult for many people. But, you know, you think about during the tribulation period when you have a pestilence or plagues that come along, there's no hope of a vaccine because it's sent from God. You know, these are God's judgments. So it'd be no vaccine, no cure. And so I think God's sending us kind of a mild foreshadow, if you will, of what is going to come during the tribulation period. And again, I don't think this is the fulfillment of those prophecies, but I would say at a minimum, this is a wake up call.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, when COVID hit, they took a survey in the U.S. of likely voters, and 44% of them said that they believed this was a wake-up call for people to turn to God. And another 29% said they believed that this was a sign of the end times or the last days. So those are pretty high numbers of people. So I think people just have this general sense in our world today that things are kind of getting near closing time.
Yeah.
And I see this whole COVID as being almost kind of a prophetic shift of gears, where globalism is being accelerated, you know, all kinds of greater controls on people's lives. You know, this is being used by local governments, state governments, national government to take more control of people's lives.
Yeah.
And it's just the kind of thing that's paving the way for the empire, the global empire of the Antichrist. So that's kind of my, you know, brief kind of, you know, capsule analysis of kind of how I think that, you know, COVID-19 really fits in with what the Bible says.
That's amazing insight, and I can't agree with you more on that. And it is interesting, because I do feel like in many ways, you know, this was the Lord's, you know, allowing this to bring a wake-up call. And I think in a lot of ways it has caused, you know, a lot of people to wake up and become a little bit more, you know, focused on the Lord. But in another way, I feel like it hasn't. And I want to talk to you about this a little bit later in our conversation, but just want to kind of throw it out there right now that, you know, I see a lot of people today, and I'm sure you do as well, who, you know, their focus is all on, you know, not, hey, you know, what do I need to do to get right with God? But when is this going to end and things get back to normal? And I've been feeling and kind of saying that I think God's saying, hey, things aren't supposed to get back to normal, and that's why I'm trying to get your attention. Are you kind of feeling, would you agree with that?
Well, yes. You know, what I've seen is that for a lot of people, the whole debate is about, you know, whether you wear a mask or don't wear a mask.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a sign the other day, it was on the internet, but of a church, a First Assembly of God church somewhere, and it said, I want to be like Saul on the road to Damascus. And I know in your church, and when I pastor, there's all kind of things depending on what state you're in and all of that.
Yeah.
But I've seen people as well turn, a lot of Christians are so focused on politics.
Yes.
You know, it's almost become an idol, you know what I mean, of just focused on politics. And look, we all have our views. We all are sad what we see in our country today. And we believe that, we want righteousness to be done. We don't want tyranny and all of that. But some people make an idol almost of politics. And so I've seen a lot of Christians swing over because this whole COVID thing's been made political. We're in this political season. And so, sadly, to me, a lot of people, it's just all about masks and politics, and all these things, rather than looking at this and saying, look, this is an opportunity and a wake-up call from God for myself to wake up to what's really important in life and to have conversations with people that go beneath those kinds of things and talk about, you know, where is this world headed?
Yeah.
Not only where's this world headed, you know, how the world going to end, but how am I going to end?
Right.
You know, where am I going? And I think a lot of churches have missed the boat on that. And I think, gotten mired in these other things so much that, it's almost, politics have taken over the gospel, I think, in some places. We have to be careful about that. Yeah. And again, we don't want to be, you know, we don't want to be blind to what's happening out there and not be relevant to address that. But I think there's a great opportunity out there. I know Greg Laurie, and I talked to him sometime back when this was going on in the spring, and he told me that in a normal time that they would have had like maybe 5,000 people accept Christ on their website. There'd been 50,000.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And you had more people, you know, at Easter, you know, watched than ever. And I know at our church, and we had, nobody there for Easter, but we, in the church, but I mean, we had by far, three times more of the people watching on devices than we've ever had before. So I think there's a hunger out there. And I think churches that really teach the Bible and really have some depth and some substance is what people are going to be looking for. I think a lot of the churches that are out there today that are kind of a little bit empty and light and shallow and just vacuous, people aren't going to go back to those places, I don't think, like they did.
Yeah.
And so I think it's incumbent on us as pastors to be ready when people do come to give them, get some good, solid truth from the Word of God and challenge them with that and, call them and confront them with the truth of the gospel. So I think it's a great opportunity, but I think we can squander the opportunity if we get mired down in too many other things.
Yeah, so true. I think that's such a great word. The politics is divisive. But the gospel is what unifies. It first unifies us to God, but then it unifies us to each other because it puts us all on the same level playing field as being sinners in need, of a Savior. And, the gospel is what, God used to bring, we see in the early church, these different cultures of the Jew and Gentile together where there was great animosity for all of these years. They're brought together as one new humanity in Christ. Mm-hmm. And, that's the answer for today. And I so love and appreciate you bringing that up because, politics are important. We need to vote. We need to, be clued into the issues and definitely be kingdom-minded. But that's not the answer for the world or America. The answer is Jesus. And
that's right. And if we could get I've noticed a lot. If we could get a lot of believers as fired up and channel their passion
so
to the gospel and to Christ as much as they have on politics, we could
change
really
the world.
Amazing things would happen. Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
And, I think it's a challenge to all of us. And again, we don't want to be ignorant of what's happened in our culture. We want to bring the gospel to bear on issues. A lot of these issues aren't political. They're moral issues,
right,
like abortion and marriage and things like that. I mean, those are moral issues. We need to address those. But some of the other things, we can get sidetracked. So let's get that harness, that passion, and let's direct it towards the gospel and to God's people and the church and see what God can do.
Amen, Mark Hitchcock. I love that. Such a great word. Hey, I want to shift gears and begin to talk about the second book that you had come out this year, which was called The Showdown with Iran. And what role does Iran play? Why don't you just take a few minutes to set that up? What role does Iran play in the prophetic picture?
Well, Iran is mentioned that the word Persia, which was really the predecessor of Iran, the word Persia was changed to Iran in 1935, and then it became the Islamic Republic of Iran in the late 70s. But the word Persia occurs in the Bible 36 times, and 35 of those times that it's mentioned, it's past references. It's past references to things that happened to the Persian Empire. But there's one reference in Ezekiel 38, verse 5, where in Ezekiel 37, the Jewish people are regathered to their land in the end. And then Ezekiel 38 and 39, there's a great coalition of nations that come and invade Israel. And it says it happens when Israel is at rest and living securely. So I placed that during the first part of the coming tribulation period. And Persia is mentioned there in Ezekiel 38, verse 5. Other nations are mentioned like Rosh, which I think is Russia, Gomer and Meshech and Tubal and Togarma is modern-day Turkey. The nation of Cush is modern-day Sudan. Put is Libya. Some other nations mentioned there that are part of Central Asia. So it's a massive invasion of Israel by these nations in the end times. And so kind of the biblical entry point for any discussion of Iran in prophecy is that great prophecy. It's called the invasion of Gog and Magog. because those nation names are mentioned there. But one of the key players in that is Iran. And so, again, you know, it's just interesting to me when you read a passage like Ezekiel 38 that was written, you know, over 2,500 years ago, and you have all these nations mentioned that are going to attack Israel when they're back in their land and living securely. Well, Israel is in their lands now. At least 40% of the Jews in the world are. There's, you know, peace being sought by Arab nations now with Israel. Four of them now have peace with Israel. And, you know, these nations that are going to invade Israel are kind of lined up. It's Russia and a bunch of Islamic nations that are radical Islamic nations, which are the nations we see today. And Iran is one of them. So to me, it's a great proof of the inspiration of the Bible. I mean, you know, Ezekiel looked down the quarters of time and saw that so long ago. So that's why we would say, you know, Iran or Persia is going to be involved in the end times as an enemy of Israel, which again, today, Israel has no greater enemy on earth than Iran.
Right.
And so, you know, as Israel signed, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago, these normalization agreements with Bahrain and United Arab Emirates, the two nations that objected the most strenuously to that were Iran and Turkey, who are mentioned there in Ezekiel 38. So, you know, Iran has been, you know, a bad actor since the late 70s, since the Islamic revolution there. And, you know, continues to be. And I believe, as I know you do, that they play a part in this future invasion. So, again, kind of going back to how what I said at the beginning, we're seeing the stage here being set, the alignment of nations. They're aligning just as the Bible predicts. And, you know, Iran is a lot of bluster over there, a lot of bellicose statements coming out over there. And at the same time that they have this, you know, radical form of Islam, they are, you know, trying to cross the nuclear threshold.
Right.
They're over there, you know, racing to the nuclear finish line. So it's a very significant problem just geopolitically in our world, but it also is a very significant issue prophetically, I believe, as well.
Absolutely. And Mark, we have about a minute and a half left in this segment. And then for our listeners, Mark and I, we are going to continue this conversation on our podcast, The Basics of Life Conversations. And we're going to continue talking about Iran and some other things, the coming apostasy in the last days. But Mark, in just about a minute, why don't you just speak we've seen this convergence happen with Iran and Turkey in Libya recently, and I think there's some significance there. Why don't you just weigh in on that for a minute?
Well, yeah, it's just this alliance of nations that's going to invade Israel in the end. I think it's going to be led by Russia. And again, Russia is a very strong ally with Iran, kind of a big protector of Iran
right.
and Turkey. And so, yeah, we just, you know, Iran and Turkey have kind of strengthened their relations. So we see those nations coming together. And then at the same time, we see the nations mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and verse 13, Sheba and Dedan, that's the Gulf states like Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates, that are nations that it says there in Ezekiel 38 are going to kind of be on Israel's side. So you see the alignments taking place exactly as was predicted in the book of Ezekiel. I mean, it's almost crazy. We live in these times. We see this happening. This is something prophecy teachers from generations ago dreamed of seeing.
Yeah.
And we're witnessing it. Israel's in the land. Their enemies are lining up. Their allies are lining up. It's all coming together. And it just should cause all of us to have a sense that, you know, the coming of Christ is near.
Amen.
And to make sure that we're ready.
Amen. We embrace that as believers. Suddenly, amidst the craziness that we are living in, it gets exciting. You know, when we look at, hey, God's put us here for a reason and a purpose, and that's to be, you know, expressions of who He is and to be bearers of the gospel to a world that so desperately needs it. Well, that's going to conclude, Mike, on this first part of my conversation with Pastor Mark Hitchcock. And if you've been tuning in today, so glad that you've joined us. And if you want to listen to part two of this, encourage you to head over to our podcast. And we pray that these conversations are just that God would use them to encourage you, to bless you, to stir you up in the Lord. And I want to encourage you today to just continue to keep the basics of your life simply Jesus.
Thank you for tuning into the Basics of Life Conversations with Rob Salvato. This conversation and many more can be found on any podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, when you search The Basics of Life Conversations. The Basics of Life Conversations is a part of the Good Lion Podcast Network. You can find more Christ-centered podcasts and content at www.goodlion.io. We look forward to being with you next time on The Basics of Life.